The title of the sermon this morning is Snatching Them from the Fire. Snatching Them from the Fire. And if you want to take out your worship guide, I encourage you to take some notes. Today is week two of our sermon series, Raising Champions for Christ. And we're devoting 6 weeks to talking about training up our kids to follow Christ for life. Not just to believe in Jesus, but to live for God for the rest of their lives. And the big idea of this sermon series, let me just repeat it. The big idea is that if our kids are champions on the field but go to hell, then we have failed them. If our kids are champions on the field or in the classroom or in the arts, whatever your kid is involved in, but then they go to hell, then we have failed them. We've missed the point. What's the point of our kids becoming wildly successful at all these different things, but then when they die, they spend eternity in hell? And that's the sermon, the big idea of the entire sermon series is making sure that we're raising champions, but the right kind of champions, champions for Jesus Christ. Several years ago, there was a movie that I watched called The Gladiator. Had anybody seen The Gladiator with Russell Crowe? Well, Russell Crowe plays the part of a top Roman general. And right before he leads his men into battle, he gives them this pep talk, this motivational speech. And I wrote it down so I can read it to you. This is part of what he said. Hold the line. Stay with me. If you find yourself alone, riding in green fields with the sun on your face, do not be troubled, for you are in Elysium and you're already dead. Brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity. What we do in life echoes in eternity. And I thought that's a very, very appropriate statement for parents to keep in mind. That as parents, what we do in this life, as parents, matters for eternity. And how we raise our kids doesn't just affect whether or not they'll make a lot of money when they grow up, or they'll be happy when they grow up, or they'll be successful when they grow up. How we raise our kids affects eternity. It affects our children in eternity. And then our grandchildren for all eternity, and our great-grandchildren for all eternity. And so our goal as parents is what's called multi-generational faithfulness. Our goal is that we could raise our kids to live for Christ and also disciple their kids to live for Christ so that they can then disciple their kids to live for Christ. If I was to boil down the most important things that parents need to know into just four statements, this is what I'd say. Number one, if you're taking notes, the four things that parents need to know the most about parenting. Number one is that hell is real. Hell is real. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, "Don't fear those who can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The words of Jesus are found in 1,830 verses in the Bible. 13% of Christ's words deal with hell. The Greek word for hell is Gehenna, and it's found 12 times in the New Testament. 11 of the 12 times, it's used by Jesus. Jesus is the one talking about it. Hell is all too real, and that's something that we have to keep in mind as parents. What is hell like? The Bible says that it's a place of outer darkness, that there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's an unquenchable fire. It's called the eternal fire. It's called a blazing furnace. It's a lake of fire. It's described as a place where the worm does not die. It's where the devil and his demons will be. Those who go there will be, it says, tormented day and night forever and ever. We can conclude from the Bible that hell is a horrible place of the most unimaginable suffering that lasts for all eternity, forever and ever and ever. When you go to hell, there's no out. You're stuck. There's no death in hell. Only constant torment forever and ever. Matthew 18:8, Jesus said, "If your hand or your foot causes you to fall away," in other words, if your hand or your foot is keeping you from going to God and from giving your life to Christ, then cut it off and throw it away, because it's better for you to enter life, eternal life, maimed or lame, than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into the eternal fire. Jesus is saying, do whatever you have to do to get saved and to go to heaven. Do whatever you have to do. In fact, if you think about it as a parent, do whatever you have to do to get your kids into heaven. A Dutch Reformed theologian, William Nicol, wrote about hell. He said, quote, "The heat of the fire will everlastingly torment them, and the stench of brimstone will offend their senses with the black, while the blackness of darkness will continually horrify them. For the damned who inhabit that place of eternal wrath, hell is truth learned too late." Now, you might be thinking, that's not a very happy subject. We're talking about parenting, how to raise our kids, and that's just kind of a depressing subject, and I don't really want to talk to my kids about hell, because hell is a really morbid subject, a really scary topic, and it seems like more parents are concerned with saving their kids from the fear of hell than they are with saving their kids from the reality of hell. But hell is very, very real, and we need to be prepared to talk to our kids about it. You need to keep hell in mind if you're a parent, and you need to teach your kids about it and help them keep it in mind. Bruce Ware is a theologian. He said, "What would people think about someone who knew about a planned disaster but didn't do anything to warn people that it was going to happen? Suppose you had a friend who knew for sure about a plan to set off a bomb at a local school. And suppose your friend thought, I don't want to tell anybody, that's not happy news. What if a doctor found cancer in one of his patients but thought, I don't want to talk about cancer, nobody wants to hear about it. I want my patient to leave uplifted and encouraged." You would think those people are crazy. You know, there are a lot of preachers. That's how they want you to feel every Sunday when you leave church, uplifted, encouraged. And so they actually avoid topics like hell, sin, controversial subjects, politics, anything that might make you uncomfortable. That's a bad idea for a pastor, and it's also a bad idea for a parent. If hell is real, then you need to keep it in mind and keep it in the minds of your kids. And if it's important enough to teach your kids about the danger of playing in the street and about the dangers of strangers, then surely it's important enough to teach your kids about the dangers of hell. Here's the second most important truth that I would tell parents. Eternity is a long time. Eternity is a long time. Your child will live for eternity. And the Bible says that one day Jesus is going to come back. He's going to judge everyone according to the way that they've acted in life. And all people will be sent to one of two places. You'll either be sent to hell for eternity, the lake of fire, or you'll be sent to heaven for all eternity. Matthew 25:46 records the words of Jesus. Matthew 25:46, it says, "And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Two ultimate destinations, two options for every single human being, either eternal punishment or eternal life. And so I want you to think about this. Hell is real, and those who go to hell go there forever and ever and ever. A famous theologian named Jonathan Edwards wrote this. He said, "Consider that if once you get into hell, you'll never get out. If you should unexpectedly, one of these days drop in there, there would be no remedy. They that go there return no more. Consider how dreadful it will be to suffer such an extremity forever. It is dreadful beyond expression to suffer it half an hour. Oh, the misery, the tribulation, and anguish that is endured." Thomas Watson, one of my favorite authors, a Puritan author, he said, "The torments of hell abide forever. Time cannot finish it. Tears cannot quench it. The wicked are salamanders who live always in the fire of hell and are not consumed. After they have lain millions of years in hell, their punishment is as far from ending as it was at the beginning. If all the earth and sea were sand, and every thousandth year a bird should come and take away one grain, it would be a long time before that vast heap of sand would be removed. Yet if after all that time the damned might come out of hell, there would be some hope. But this word ever breaks the heart. Eternity. They'll be there forever and ever and ever. And so that's where people who don't accept Christ as Lord and Savior go. They go to hell forever and ever and ever. And so if your child goes to hell because they didn't accept Christ, that's where they will be. Your precious child. The third most important truth that parents need to know about parenting is that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. The Bible couldn't be clearer on this point. Jesus himself was very, very exclusive about the way to heaven. In John 14, 6, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so the only way that your child can go to heaven is if they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's the only way. Your child can't get to heaven by doing good deeds. They can't get to heaven through Buddhism or Hinduism or Judaism or Islam or Mormonism or the Watchtower, which is Jehovah's Witnesses. Your child needs Jesus. That's the only person who can save them. We just sang about that in that song, Build My Life. Jesus, you're the only one who can save. And so your children will be forever lost if they don't have Jesus, if they don't have a personal relationship with Christ. Romans 3:23 reminds us that it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And so your child is a sinner, just like you are. And sinners, the Bible says, go to hell. And you say, "Well, my child is different. My child is unique." And you're right. Your child is very, very unique. There's no sinner that's ever been like your child. Your child has offended God in very unique ways, unique only to your child. But your child is a sinner who deserves eternal punishment, and that's where they will go without Jesus Christ. You know, with your child, it doesn't matter that their parents went to church. It doesn't matter if your child knows all the Bible stories. It doesn't matter if your child knows all the Bible verses memorized and wins Bible drill. It doesn't matter if you bring your child to church every Sunday. None of that matters. If your child doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, they go to hell. 1 John 5, 11 through 12, the Apostle John talked about the exclusivity of salvation through Jesus. He said, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son does not have life." And so as a parent, you need to make sure that your children have the Son, that they've got a personal relationship with Jesus. And here's the fourth most important truth that parents need to understand, and that's most Christians accept Christ when they are young. Most Christians accept Christ when they are young. There was a study done by Barna Research Group that found that 77% or almost 80% of born-again Christians made the decision to accept Christ as their Savior before the age of 21. So almost 80% of people out there who call themselves born-again Christians, 80% of adults out there who call themselves born-again Christians, almost 80% of them accepted Christ and became a Christian before the age of 21. And so what that means is that the older your child gets, the more unlikely it is that they will become a Christian. Impossible? Of course not. Anything is possible with God. Many of you became Christians. You got saved as adults. And your children can get saved as adults. But the best time to reach somebody for Christ, the time when somebody is the most open to the gospel, is when they're a child, when they're still living at home, under your roof, under your influence. That's the most likely time that somebody will become a Christian. Why is that? I think we can speculate. I think part of it has to do with the fact that children are more humble than adults. They're more teachable. They're more trusting. They're less addicted to their sin. They're less skeptical and cynical. They've been exposed to fewer bad ideas. And so for whatever reason or for many reasons, children are just more open to the gospel. And that's the time to reach your kids for Christ. And so I want to encourage you to seize the day. Now's the time. Now, with that in mind, those four truths, those four ideas that I think are the most important things that parents need to know, then here is what I would say is the most urgent and most important parenting task. Your most urgent and most important task as a parent is to snatch your children from the fire. Your most urgent and important task as a parent is to snatch your children from the fire. Now, why am I using that strange language, snatch them from the fire? It's because that comes straight from the Bible. Jude 1:23 gives all Christians this command that we should all do the work of evangelism. It says, save others by snatching them from the fire. And what he means is that whenever you lead somebody to Christ, you are literally snatching them from the fires of hell. Every person without Jesus is headed toward hell. So when you lead somebody to Jesus, you're snatching them from the fire. And so you need to see your children as, if they're not saved, as hellbound. They are headed toward the fires of eternal hell. And your most urgent and your most important task as a parent is to snatch them from the fire before it's too late. You know, most parents are focused just on the wrong things. They're focused on raising their children to be happy or successful or wealthy. But then what's the point of gaining the whole world if you lose your soul? Jesus said this in Mark 8:36. He said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And that's what we do so often as parents in America and in all countries, is we raise our kids to gain the world. But how many parents neglect to save their child's soul, to snatch them from the fire? Your children may grow up to be the next great American athlete or discover the cure for cancer or become a 5-star general in the military. Your child may grow up to become a professional singer or to be a billionaire. But if they don't accept Jesus, what does it profit them to gain the whole world and lose their soul? You know, the Bible says that there's one unforgivable sin. And that one unforgivable sin, in a nutshell, is to reject Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's the one unforgivable sin. Other than that, Jesus can save, can forgive you. God can forgive you of everything. But if you reject Christ, who is God's provision for your sins, that's the one sin that can't be forgiven. But I think there's another unforgivable sin. I call it the unforgivable parenting sin. And that is, if you fail to do everything in your power to lead your kids to Christ, then your kids will spend eternity in hell because of your negligence. And so it's not unforgivable in the sense that you as a parent won't be forgiven, but your children won't be forgiven. And so it's an unforgivable parenting sin if you don't do everything you can to lead your children to Christ. Now listen, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can lead your children to Jesus, but you can't force them or make them accept Christ. I understand that. But I'm talking about doing everything in our power as parents to lead our children to Christ. Everything we can possibly do. Taking that task very, very, very seriously. We all want to be good parents. We all want to be great parents. And so we dress our kids in name brand clothes, and we buy our kids the best toys, and we put our kids in the best schools. We drive our kids to soccer practice and ballet and piano and karate. But many times we do very, very little. In all the things that we do very, very little to save our child's soul. And so you guys have heard me talk about living for the line rather than the dot. So I want to think about that in terms of a parent. Picture a dot, and then a line connected to it. And the line has an arrow on it, so the line goes on for eternity. The dot, the little dot, represents your child's life on earth, which would be about 75 years long. It's finite. It's not going to go on forever. It's a very short amount of time compared to the line, which represents eternity. It goes on and on and on and on and on, either in heaven or in hell. And so many times we as parents, we focus on raising our kids for the dot so that they can gain the world. We want them to be happy, healthy, wealthy, successful on earth. And that's okay, but we almost entirely neglect the line. And that's where the bulk of your child's existence is going to occur, in eternity. And so as parents, just common sense, hey, we need to focus on the line. Parent for the line, not the dot. Do your kids need to know how to read? Yes. Do they need to know math? Yes. Do they need to do well on their ACT test? Yes, of course. That stuff is important. But how much more important is the line, their soul? We need to make sure that our kids are going to heaven, do everything we can. To be a successful parent, what I want to do is train you to think like a missionary, to assume the position, the calling of a missionary. Your primary mission field is your own children, is your home. You know, in the Southern Baptist Convention, the denomination that our church is a part of, there are two kinds of missionaries. We have thousands and thousands of missionaries that are funded by the tithes and offerings that we give to the convention. And there's two kinds. One are foreign missionaries. Foreign missionaries are those who minister in another country. And then the other kind of missionary is called a home missionary. Home missionaries are those who are missionaries right here in their home country, in America. But I think there's a better definition of a home missionary. A home missionary is a parent who realizes that they've been called to reach their children for Christ and who has embraced that as their primary calling in life, their primary job in life. While your kids are living at home, your job is to be a home missionary, to reach your children for Christ. God has sent you to snatch them from the flames before it's too late. And so I want to encourage you to see yourself as a missionary. You're a missionary. That's your primary job, and your mission field is your house, those children. And so let me tell you three things you can do to be an effective home missionary, and then we'll close. Three things that you need to do to be an effective home missionary. Okay, parents, I want to teach you right now, if you didn't already know, how to snatch your children from the fire. And I want to remind you how to snatch your children from the fire. This is how to do it. Three things you need to know to be an effective home missionary. Number one, you need to know the gospel. You need to know the gospel, parents. And so if we were talking after church and I said, okay, you got 30 seconds, tell me the gospel. You got 30 seconds to share the gospel with me. Can you do it? Are you real comfortable, real confident about the gospel message? And the reason why you need to know the gospel is because the gospel message is the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. The gospel message is what your children need to believe in order to be saved. And so if you don't know the gospel, then you can't share it with your children and they can't be saved unless somebody else shares it with them. So you got to know the gospel message. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek." So whether you're a child or an adult, if you want to be saved, you need to know the gospel, you need to believe the gospel. That's what we're putting our faith in, the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. The gospel can be explained to your children in four words. Now, I recommend, parents, that these four words, you've got to know these, and you've got to be ready to share these with your kids often and always. So write these four words, I would say, in the cover of your Bible, on the inside cover, somewhere where you can access it really quickly. Put them in your cell phone, if you have a note-taking app or something like that. But you need to have these four words and what they mean memorized and ready, accessible. The first one is God. That's the first word. And the idea here to tell your children is that God loves you, God made you, and God created you for a relationship with Him. God loves you and created you for a relationship with Him. When God first made people, Adam and Eve, God had this unbroken, intimate relationship with Adam and Eve. I mean, it's impossible for us to even imagine what that's like. But there was just this unbroken, perfect fellowship with God. And that's what God created for us. John 3:16 is a good verse to teach your children. The beginning of that verse says, God loves the people of this world so much. God loves the people of this world so much. So God loves you, created you to know Him, to have a relationship with Him. Something to teach your kids about God is that God is a person. Not a human, but He's a person. He has personality. And that means we can communicate with Him. We can have a relationship with Him. We can know Him. God is not an idea. God is not just some force like in Star Wars. God's a person that we can know, and He wants you to know Him and have a relationship with Him. Number two, the second word is sin. Before you can teach your children the good news, they have to understand the bad news. Good news is not good unless you understand the bad news. And so this is the bad news. Sin is that all of us have sinned against God, and through our sin, because of our sin, we cannot have that relationship with God that we were created to have. Because of our sin, we're separated from God. There's this infinitely large, uncrossable chasm between us and God because of our sin. God is holy, infinitely holy. And we've sinned against Almighty, holy God. And so we are separated from God because of our sins. You know, this is illustrated with the story of Adam and Eve when in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit and they sinned against God, God didn't stop loving them, but they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And not only that, but that's when death entered into the human race. Before then, Adam and Eve had access to the tree of life, and so they were just going to live forever. That was God's original intent. When sin entered into the picture, they were separated from God. And because we sin against an infinite, eternal God, the separation from God is eternal and infinite in a place called hell. So that's sin. There's nothing we can do to cross that chasm. There's no way for us to save ourselves. That's what we deserve. That's where we're going because of our sin. Now we're ready for the good news. And the third word is Jesus. Jesus. God sent Jesus to save you by dying on the cross for your sins. God sent Jesus to save you from your sins by dying on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, this is the whole reason Jesus came to earth, the primary reason Jesus came to earth, the primary reason for the incarnation, why, primary reason for Christmas. Jesus came to earth to become a human being so that he could die in our place for our sins, to be punished instead of us. And because Jesus died on the cross, and Jesus absorbed the wrath of God and satisfied God's justice towards sin on our behalf, now we can be forgiven and reconciled to God. And so that's the good news. But that's not all. That brings us to the fourth word, which is you. Y-O-U. To be saved, you must repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ. To be saved, you must repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ. John 1:12, Jesus said, but to all who did receive him, you see, you can either receive Christ or you can reject him. He died to save you, but now you have to make the decision to receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God to those who believe in his name. Again, Jesus died to make forgiveness available, but it only becomes ours if we receive it, if we accept it, by repenting of our sins and by trusting in Jesus Christ. And so, how do you accept Jesus? As you've written those four words, God, sin, Jesus, you, then right under that, write ABC. This is how you have your children make a decision to accept Christ. ABC, this is how you accept Christ. A is admit. Admit. To accept Christ, you need to admit, to believe, to agree that you are a sinner and you deserve hell. You deserve eternal punishment and you can't save yourself. You've got to admit that. You've got to admit your lost condition. And then B stands for believe. And that is, you need to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. You need to believe, first of all, that he's Savior, that he is God's payment for your sins. He really did die on the cross and rise again for your sins. You got to believe in that. And you got to believe in him as Lord. And so that means when I say repent, what that means is you've got to turn away from a self-centered life to a God-centered life. Your child has to make a decision to put Jesus on the throne of their life. Your child has to make a decision to hand over the steering wheel of their life to Jesus. Say, Jesus, you take the wheel. You drive from here on out. You're in charge. And then C stands for call. C, A, B, C. Admit, believe, and then call. Your child needs to call on Jesus to save them. They need to personally say, dear Jesus, not these exact words, don't have to be these exact words, but they need to ask God through Jesus to save them. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please save me. Come into my life. I devote my life to you. I turn from my sins. Please save me. And so you need to lead your child into that kind of a decision. When Lydia was a little girl, when she got saved, it was because her daddy led her to Christ. And her dad, 7 years old, she was 7 years old. And her dad led her to Christ, led her to understand the gospel and to pray and ask Jesus to come into her life when she's just 7 years old. That's a wonderful memory, isn't it? That your dad led you to Christ. And that's the calling of parents. You're the missionary. And so you need to know the gospel. Number two, the second thing you need to know in order to be an effective home missionary, you need to know the gospel, but then you also need to preach the gospel. You need to preach the gospel. Some of you guys wanted to be a preacher. Now you have the chance. You get to be a preacher. And if you don't like the word preach, you can use the word share. But it's not enough, obviously, for you to know the gospel. You need to share it with your children. You need to proclaim it to your children. 2 Timothy 3:16 is a good verse for you, parents. Proclaim the message. Proclaim the message to your kids. Persist in it, whether convenient or not, whether they want to do Bible time or not. Persist in it, parents. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. So you've got to share the gospel with your kids. You've got to preach it to them often. Don't wait for somebody else to share the gospel with your kids. You do it. Don't pray for somebody else to share the gospel with your kids. You be the answer to that prayer. Don't hope that your child will one Sunday hear the gospel and get saved. That's a good thing for you to pray, but you don't wait for Sunday. You've got all week long. This is why we teach parental discipleship, home discipleship, because you've got all week long to be discipling your kids and leading them to Jesus. And so, yes, pray that they receive Christ on Sunday, but why not by their bed? It's like Lydia was saved when she was 7 years old. Why can't you do it? I'll get them wet. I'll dunk them. You just come to me and say, hey, my little boy just accepted Christ. Would you baptize him? I sure will. And I can talk to them and make sure they understand the gospel, but you can do it. Parents are so careful to communicate certain messages to their kids. Messages like, I love you. Brush your teeth every day. Stay away from drugs and alcohol. Do your best in school. Get your elbows off the table. Say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Say thank you. Keep your eye on the ball. It's important to share with others. Be nice. Don't hit girls. Don't steal. Don't cheat. You know, we've got all these messages that we're very careful to make sure that our children receive and understand. But we've got to make sure that our children hear and understand and receive the most important message, which is the gospel. Make sure you don't omit that message. Parents are diligent to ensure that their children understand certain information. We want to make sure that our children understand reading and writing and arithmetic, and that they understand the basics of science and history. And we want to make sure that our kids understand music theory. And if you're a father, you want to make sure that your kids understand the rules of baseball and basketball and football, and so they can watch it with you and understand the game. And those things are fine. But the most important information is the gospel. Make sure that your children understand the gospel. Most children grow up without ever hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they do hear it, it's not from their parents. Parents have never truly explained it to them in a way that they can understand. Don't get into the habit of missing church, parents. You guys are great at church attendance. And I want to encourage you to keep doing that. Because you want your child to have as many exposures to the gospel as possible. And so every Sunday, no matter what I'm preaching about, I try to include the gospel. I try to explain the gospel message every Sunday. And so by bringing your kids to church, you're sharing it with them at home, and then they're hearing it from the pastor at church every week. They're hearing the gospel and having an opportunity to get saved. So get your children to church if you want to preach the gospel to them. All right, one more thing that you need to understand in order to be an effective home missionary is to look for the gospel. Look for the gospel. And what I mean is, first you've got to understand the gospel. You need to know the gospel. Number two, you've got to preach the gospel. Then you have to look for the gospel as a parent. You have to look for the gospel. You have to look, learn to look. If you're going to be an effective home missionary and you're trying to reach those kids, you've got to learn to look for the evidence that they've been saved or not. Because it doesn't matter if your child prayed a prayer. You know, you may sit by their bedside with them or kneel by their bedside when they're 7 years old and have them pray a prayer to accept Jesus in their life. That doesn't mean they necessarily got it. Just because they got baptized doesn't necessarily mean they're saved. Just because they know the gospel, they understand it, They can regurgitate it to you. Doesn't mean that they are saved. You've got to, as a parent, also learn to look for the evidence in their life that they've got it, that they've been born again. And, you know, the Bible says whenever you get saved, you're born again. You become a new person. You're different. You're changed. And there are certain evidences, certain fruits that our life will start to produce. And so if you need it as a parent to be looking at your child's heart and trying to discern, they say they're saved, they say they believe in Jesus, but are they saved? I'm looking for the fruits, because then you can know how to continue to share the gospel with them. You can praise God. I really think my child is saved. I can just see them living for Christ. I can see the gospel in them. Or you can say, they believe in God, believe in Jesus, and they've prayed this prayer, they've gotten baptized, but I just don't see the gospel in them. I mean, all I see is love of self and love for the world, and I just don't see the fruit. So let me give you just a few fruits that you need to look for. The first one, of course, is your child needs to understand the gospel. Your child can't believe in that which they don't understand. And so if you want to know if your child is saved, one of the signs that you can look for is just, hey, tell me the gospel. Share the gospel with me. Do you understand the gospel? Another sign that you can look for, though, is the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 through 23, the fruit of the Spirit, remember, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's called the fruit of the Spirit because whenever you get saved, God gives you the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, and immediately he goes to work producing these kinds of character qualities, Christ-like character qualities in your life. And so when your child gets saved, gradually over time, you should start seeing spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. You should start seeing those things. And then also, you can ask about the fruit of the Spirit. Does my child love God and others? That's love. Does my child have the joy of the Lord? Does my child seek peace with others? Is my child growing in patience? Is my child kind? Is my child growing in goodness? In other words, they're voluntarily helping others out, doing good deeds. Is my child faithful? Are they honest? Are they trying to be honest? Is my child gentle? Is my child growing in self-control? And then the third sign to look for of salvation is obedience to God. Once you get saved, God gives you this new heart that wants to obey God. You don't become perfect. You don't become sinless, but you sin less and you feel worse. When God saves you, you're different. And so you grow in obedience and you desire. And so even if your child is still struggling with sin, you should see in your child this desire. I want to obey God. I want to please the Lord. It's not I'm being obedient. I'm staying away from trouble so that I don't get punished for my parents, don't get a spanking or don't get grounded or something. It's I really want to know God's word, because I want to know how to please him, and I want to know how to obey him. Now, if you're saved, then you know the feeling that I'm talking about. You know the hunger that I'm talking about, the desire. You have it. You want to please the Lord. You don't want to do anything that offends God. That's what you want to look for in your child as your child is growing up and as you're trying to discern whether or not they're saved. 1 John 2:3 says, this is how we know that we know him. The entire letter of 1 John was written so that we can know whether or not we're saved. It's all about the signs, the fruits of salvation. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. Again, you don't become sinless, but you sin less and you feel worse whenever you do sin. Look for that in your child. Let me close with this. In Luke chapter 16, there's this familiar story about the rich man and Lazarus. And I don't know if you know this, but traditionally the rich man is called Dives, D-I-V-E-S. And so his name is Dives because Dives is the Latin word for rich man. In the original Latin Vulgate, the old Roman Catholic Bible for centuries, it's Dives. And so Dives is a very, very rich man who lived in just luxury, but he wasn't a Christian. And we know that because he had a poor man named Lazarus who lived outside. He was homeless, and he kind of hung out on the streets outside of Dives' gates, kind of at the end of his driveway, if you will. And Dives never did anything to help this poor homeless man. Never shared anything with him. But Lazarus, the poor man, was a Christian. So one day they die. They both die eventually, like we all do. And the Bible says that Dives went to hell. and Lazarus went to heaven. And it says that in hell, Dives was in agony, in flames. It literally uses that language. Dives was in agony, in flames, and he begged for just a single drop of water to cool his tongue. But that couldn't be given to him because the Bible says there's this great chasm fixed between heaven and hell. And people from heaven cannot go to hell. And people from hell cannot go to heaven. Once you're there, you're there. It's fixed. And the story illustrates three things. First of all, that your eternal state is much more important than your earthly state. Think about the rich man, Dives. He was so rich and had all of this luxury in this life. But who cares? Because for all eternity, he's spending it in hell. And so your eternal state is so much more important than your life on earth. Remember that as a parent. As parents in America, we're way too concerned with this life and not nearly concerned enough with the afterlife. The second thing that this story illustrates is the agony of hell. It says that Dives was in agony in flames. He was in absolute torment. I hesitate to ask you to imagine your child in hell, in agony for eternity. But that's where they will go without Christ. And then the third thing that the story illustrates is the finality of hell, that once you're in hell, you can't leave. You can't get out. You don't get second chances. We have plenty of chances in this life, but not in the next life. The word gospel, of course, means good news. That's what it means. Gospel means good news, but the gospel is only good news if you hear it in time. And so you've got to make sure you reach your children for Christ. 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, if you're a Christian, you understand that there is no greater joy than to know that your children are saved. To know that your children are walking with God. Isn't that a blessing? But also, if you're a parent, then you'll find out, if you haven't already, that the knowledge that your children are not following Christ, that they're rejecting it with Christ, rejecting Christ is the greatest sorrow in life. It's the worst thing in life. It doesn't matter how much your children make, how wealthy they are, how happy they are, how much stuff they have. If they're not saved as a parent, you've got to be thinking, they're going to go to hell if they die. They need Christ. And so parents, snatch them from the fire. Make that your most urgent and most important task. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our children. They're such a wonderful blessing to us. And we just love them so much. We're so thankful for the privilege of being parents and grandparents. Lord, help us to embrace the calling of a home missionary. Help us to live like missionaries in our home through our words and example and through our discipleship, through all that we do. Help us, Lord, to reach our kids for Jesus. We pray for the salvation of all the kids in this church. We pray, Lord, that they would become genuinely saved, born again. Save the kids, save the next generation in this church, Lord. And we pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.